Hello?
Hey, hi, sorry, is this Wayne?
Yeah, it is. Who's this?
My name's Corwin. I was just actually, sorry, Wayne Gretzky, right?
That's right.
Okay,
Hello?
yeah, sorry. No, I'm surprised to get you on the phone. This is awesome. Basically, I work with TSN and I'm just trying to do
Who do you work
obviously
with?
with TSN.
Okay, gotcha.
We were hoping to do an interview with you, like obviously you're the great one. So well, there's a couple like questions that we kind of had about.
Listen, are you sure you're talking to the right guy? You're talking to Wayne Gretzky. You're not talking to Wayne Gretzky.
Oh, sorry, wait, Wayne, not Wayne Gretzky?
No, you're not. You're talking with somebody totally different.
Oh.
So you must have the wrong number.
Okay, sorry about that.
Not a big deal, pal. Keep up the good work.
Thanks.
Okay, man.
Bar down. Bar down. Bar down. Bar down. Dot com.
I mean, we got 100 sports bars across Canada watching. You know, we got DVD deals on the go. We got licensing deals for video games. People want to see it.
I think that anybody who had a premonition in their mind that this was going to be some awful, tragic event, their thoughts were done tonight. There's a lot of naysayers out there that said this would never happen. A couple guys in my backyard, I like to boot in the balls. And I'm going to go back and I'm going to boot them in the balls hard.
What is this episode about?
Okay, well, before we address that person and line...
No, please.
I just have a question for you.
Fire away. Just don't boot me in the balls.
Have you ever seen Goon 2?
No. I have seen the first one, but not the second one.
Okay, so you know who Doug Glatt is.
Oh, yeah. That's where Jesse got his number from.
69! Take the number 69! It's hilarious!
Correct. Yeah, he's super nice.
Grow up.
As you could have guessed from the title of the movie, probably, he's a hockey enforcer. And in the second movie, that continues. He kind of... loses his way, he loses his spot on the team, and he's trying to find his way back in, even though like his wife doesn't want him to fight anymore. Anyways, I'm not going to go too much into the plot of the movie. All I wanted to talk about was that in one point in the movie, there's actually a hockey fighting league. And like that's it.
Isn't there a league in Quebec like that?
Well, so no. So that league, I know which one you're talking about. And that one, it's known as like a goon league, and like,
yeah,
really,
like if you score, you're doing it wrong in that league. Like the whole point is like, come on, buddy, like get the puck out of the net and start punching me in the face.
Precisely. But in the movie, this thing's actually, it's just fighting. There is no hockey. It's you wear hockey equipment and it's on ice, but you only fight.
Ladies and germs, welcome to the Bruised and Battered Hockey Fighting Competition. Proudly banned in 11 states, 6 provinces, and 1 territory. The hockey tournament for retired fourth liners with only one rule. No hockey.
Okay, so see, that's the description in Goon 2 of the kind of event that they hold. But what would you think of this in real life?
Fourth line players without the hockey. At the very least, it'd be a spectacle. I don't know, like, fighting in the greater context of hockey works. I think most people love it, myself included. You know, gets people rallied, gets people fired up. That being said, take away the hockey and just have hockey fighting? Like, the fighting's not that great. Like, the quality of the fighting.
Yeah. You're not seeing the technical ability of John Jones out there.
No, you're not seeing like technical strikes. You're not seeing parries and counterattacks, and you're not seeing people bob and weave.
I said parries. But I agree. I do agree with
Sorry,
you.
Sorry, I was just playing Assassin's Creed.
I know that Assassin's Creed is based on true events, and believe it or not, so is Goon 2. There was a real hockey fighting event that had actually inspired this. But I'll let Jay Baruchel explain.
Well, it came from this weird event. I think it was called like Black and Blue Battle of the Hockey Enforcers or something like that. And I guess afterwards, one night, I think on like the documentary channel or something, I ended up seeing this, this documentary about the two fellas that like ran the thing and all of their efforts to get it put on somewhere. You know, they showed a whole bunch of the tilts in the doc, as well as all the behind the scenes stuff, which was like, yeah, if I could be perfectly frank, it was heavy to watch. Super heavy. I had been interested in watching that friggin' thing, the event itself, and then in having watched the doc, I was way less interested in it, but it was fascinated by it. You know, less interested as a fan, but fascinated by it. My writing partner Jesse and I, at the time, we were roommates. We were two of three guys living in a house in Montreal, and we watched it together. And we're like, well, if we ever make another Goon movie, that clearly has to be in there in some way.
Welcome to Hockey Enforcers, and let's be honest. Everyone knows in the world of hockey, fighting takes place. Tonight, we pay respect to the guys who are maybe most respected in the sport, the guys who dropped their mitts.
A minute of time may not seem long for most, but it could seem like an eternity for 16 men taking part in the Battle of the Hockey Enforcers. In that minute, the enforcers would duck and throw, going toe-to-toe in staged hockey fights to ultimately determine a winner.
They were all smiles, full of jokes, even buddy-buddy, or so it seemed.
I'm not here trying to make any friends, that's for sure.
And this fight to the finish is being touted as a glitzy event, available only on pay-per-view and to those watching the violence live at the local arena.
It had all the lights, the smoke, the signs, and the sounds of a WWE event. The only difference, the fights and blood were very real.
This is history in the making. Nothing like this has ever been done before. And we know that all of you are going to be more than happy after you've viewed this broadcast.
Okay, so that's a lot to take in. And if you want any more information on that or to see some of the fights, you can actually go see it on the Bar Down website, bardown.com/bardown-podcast. And there's a bunch of the fights and more information about this whole event. But, Z, we cut a little promo there for you. What'd you think?
I still don't think I would go to that. And here's why. If you were watching a hockey game live, in person, you'd be hard-pressed to find a moment other than, obviously, goals, other than fighting, where people are just standing, yelling, and the most excited. The thing is, without everything in between, you know, as in the actually playing hockey, I don't think you get that kind of reaction out of just watching a hockey fight.
Yeah, I agree. But I would say they're trying to build it up as an event and a title where you can kind of crown the greatest hockey fighter. So you said you wouldn't go to it. Would you, I don't know, like, would you even at least watch it on YouTube? Or do you think people would watch it on YouTube?
Oh, this would find an audience, no problem. You said YouTube or not. I mean, like, I'm not trying to, like, bum fights exist. And I'm not saying, again, like, this is bum fighting, but it's not, you know, people like watching fights that have absolutely no technique to them. And this is a lot more technique than that. So, yeah, like, it's going to find an audience.
I agree. It would find an audience in some way. And you know who else agreed is the executive producer of the event.
My name's Daryl Walski from Manitoba.
Okay, so before we hear more from Daryl, I just want to say we did find the documentary that Jay Baruchel was talking about earlier. And to kind of get an idea of who he is, there was a line that basically opens the documentary that does a great job of that.
If Al Waxman and Donald Trump had a child, it would have been Beef.
Beef? His name is Beef?
That is, his nickname is Beef. Daryl Beef Wolski.
No way! A guy named Beef started a league where you just take on all the hockey and just punch each other in the face. Inconceivable.
But what is inconceivable is that the guy that started all this and was so passionate about it actually thought it was an awful idea to begin with.
Why would someone pursue an idea that they themselves think is awful?
Well, let's find out.
It sounds like something someone named Beef would do.
Well, it was like about 2003, I believe. Me and a friend of mine were watching TV, watching the highlights, and he said, wouldn't it be neat to have all the toughest guys in hockey come somewhere and just have a hockey fight contest? And I said, that's an absolutely stupid idea. That's kind of where it all went from. It seems like all my great ideas always come up from having an order of wings somewhere.
And that's the end of the podcast. Thanks for listening. Please rate and subscribe.
If I had to like guess how that idea came up, I would have said over wings and a guy named Beef.
It is hilarious that like I like that concept that like all my best ideas come when I'm just crushing a couple pounds of wings. Anyways, wherever you get your ideas, I don't know. I think we can all relate to that. Like things change along the way.
The original idea was insane. 64 guys and have this like WWE, you know, rage in the cage and have on the ice 12 guys at a time. The last guy standing moves on to the next round. You know, that kind of thing was absolutely ridiculous. The more and more we thought about and worked with other guys that were current fighters and ex-fighters, and we took their advice and we kind of moved into kind of, for lack of a better term, kind of made like a softball tournament draw or a curling tournament draw. And we had 60 guys and, you know, if you won, you moved on to the A side. If you lost, you went to the B side and you could work your way back in. And basically it was a double knockout format. No pun intended. And the winner made $64,000.
So Z, first of all, I got to say $64,000 for the winner. When I first heard that, I was surprised because it seemed
that's
more...
high. That's way higher than I thought.
Yeah. 100%.
I thought it was going to be like maybe a free meal.
Yeah, I honestly thought it was more like a bragging rights, like basically like the quiz,
bragging rights,
like they can have a winner's circle at the end and then that's it.
No. That form of low quality prize is reserved for only the finest forms of entertainment.
Your early reactions were very poor.
We honestly believe that this is the beginning of a new spectacle.
People are calling this hockey porn. What do you say to that?
You will watch it, just like everybody else will watch it. So from you hearing these comments, slamming an event that they know nothing about, do your homework before you make comments like that.
The biggest hurdle we had was actually finding a location. That was a monstrous issue, is to find a place that was actually going to say, hey, yeah, go ahead and do it.
It took organizer Daryl Walski 18 months to find a venue. A lot of people wish he'd kept looking.
You know, I thought, you know, we just rent an arena and, you know, go for it, you know? And, you know, pay the bills, do the advertising, do the marketing, and the rest is done, right? But I was mistaken.
Shockingly enough, it seems like, I don't know, hockey fights, obviously, you would normally think of Canada, but they actually ended up going south of the border initially.
We went to Minneapolis. We had a done deal with the Target Center. And politically, the governor came in and said, no, we don't want this event.
It was such an easy deal. And then all of a sudden, the city of Minneapolis handed the rights over to the people around the Minnesota Timberwolves. I haven't dealt with bigger in my life.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, any chance you may be moving your event somewhere? Why? Well, we really like to put some new seats in.
And same thing happened when we were in Massachusetts. We had a great facility, a great venue, and same thing. The governor got involved and said no. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so tired of this. So then a friend of us got us on the California Athletic Commission meeting, and we went there. It was like kind of in this theater, and on the board was, at the time, Bruce Jenner. And we're friendly at first, and then it got really ugly at the end. I knew we had no chance here in California. You know, Bruce Jenner then said, well, Daryl, you know, I have a problem with this event. I don't know how I can, with good conscience, allow this event in our state, you know, when my neighbor's Wayne Gretzky, and, you know, I'm seeing him and I'm cutting grass. So me being a smart ass that I am, I look at Bruce Jenner and, you know, how many gold medals does he have? I don't know. And I said, you know, Mr. Jenner, no offense, but I got to say this about you. I don't think there's any chance that you actually cut your grass. And that was the end of that one, and we're sunk. We had to move on. Quit finding locations.
How many fights did Wayne Gretzky have in his career, by the way? Zero?
No, I think he had a couple. I feel like it was like four or something. But anyways, so they didn't have any success with any of the American cities, so they started exploring other ones. So Z, you'll kind of hear there's like kind of like two versions of Daryl talking there. One is the phone call that I had with him like just last week. And then there's another one that is from that documentary we were talking about, which is so good, by the way. Like it basically, they follow them around as they're trying to set this whole thing up. There's a camera crew and everything.
They definitely did that knowing full well that it was about to explode in front of them.
And you're not wrong, because while there are some like very serious moments in it too, there's also hilarious moments. Like they're all sitting around a table discussing the best way to put out this press release, and then the guy just deletes it off of his computer.
What?
Ah, I just closed that thing.
What, you lose the press release?
Yeah, I just lost the press release. I went to print it, and I closed it. And it says change, and I said no.
So when we went to Winnipeg, I said to the guy who owns the rink, I said, hey, let's do this. The guy that ran the rink said, yeah, Daryl, great idea. Let's do this. Let's do this.
If there's an audience for it and it meets community standards, then more power to them and they should be able to present it. Certainly a fist fight in a hockey game. It happens, last time I checked, virtually every Friday night in every rink in the country.
You know, we didn't know that we had to get a rubber stamp on the deal to be able to do it.
And what do you mean by rubber stamp? Like, what was it that was actually kind of holding that up? Like, is it like insurance stuff or?
Insurance was easy. The issue was, because it's considered a prize fight. So we had to have permission from the Manitoba Athletic Commission and also the Manitoba Boxing Commission to say yes. And they said no.
It's a violation, potentially, of the criminal code that says if you fight with your fists or hands and you're not an amateur and you're not sanctioned by the Boxing Commission, it's a criminal offense.
Are the cops going to show up at the Winnipeg Arena with thousands of fans there and these retired hockey players punching each other out on the ice, and then deciding after a few flails that a prize fight has been going on, it hasn't been sanctioned, and then bust you down?
We were told by the police that the last thing they want to do is arrest 8,000 people.
That was it. The Hockey Gladiators likely leaving this afternoon.
So far, it's sounding like it's failing spectacularly, because prized cockfighting in the form of hockey fights isn't legal.
See, you're not wrong. Like, basically, at every door they opened was shut very quickly, and this seemed like a tire fire.
We sold a couple thousand tickets in no time at all with no advertising. All of a sudden, you know, dun, 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 then Dragnet shows up.
On July 30th, the Winnipeg Police Service was informed of an upcoming event at the Winnipeg Arena being billed as the Battle of the Hockey Gladiators. Winnipeg Police Service members will be on hand to investigate it should the event proceed as scheduled.
You know, just when I was ready to throw in the towel, a buddy of mine that used to run the Keystone Center in Brandon, he now runs a venue now in Prince George. His name's Phil Bolio. Phil says, hey, if you can work within the requirements of the Prince George Athletic Commission, and they wear the certain 144-gram gloves, and they wear helmets, and the helmet falls off, the referees have to stop it, on and on and on. And he said, okay, and we had a done deal.
This is an event that apparently there's an appetite around the world for. So hosting in Prince George, a world premiere, I think is a good thing.
I think Prince George could have represented himself in a better light.
I don't know, bit of a freak show.
I believe in a hockey fight, but that's not a hockey fight. That's just a goon show.
Can someone explain to me what the difference between a hockey fight and a goon show is? I mean, I guess what you're saying, like, there has to be, like, context to the fight. But, I mean, if the context is a free dinner, or in this case, $64,000, it's still there.
Wait, what? I feel like you're switching sides now. I feel like you should have been, based on your previous comments, you should have totally been on this guy's side.
I'm just saying it's ludicrous if you have no problem with fighting in hockey, but this, for some reason, you're like, I just, no thanks, not for me, this is disgusting. It's like, they're not that far apart. Again, I'm coming at this from the angle of, like, I have no problems with watching hockey fights. I have no problem with there being fighting in hockey. I just don't think this would be a very entertaining fight to watch, and I wouldn't spend money on it. I'm not getting on some high horse pretending as if this fight is that different than one that takes part during a game.
Yeah, that's fair. I totally agree.
The city of Prince George then had an emergency city council meeting because they felt they had some bad press.
All the pressure council got was from the newspaper in Prince George. How bad this event is, and my God, what an atrocity, and it was shut down in 12 cities. No, it wasn't, idiot.
I like this guy.
That's beef.
Making a one-off decision would only be motivated because it's hockey and it's our national sport. And I think that's what's brought the passion out from the community. This isn't hockey, this is a fight card.
I move we terminate our contract with the Hockey Enforcers event August 27th and seek legal counsel on this matter.
Once again, and so they said, we're going to revoke your contract.
With Hockey Enforcers canceled in Prince George, the future of the event looks bleak. But an unlikely break sparks new hope for beef.
I decided to sue the city of Prince George for $5 million.
The mayor calls for a revote.
I'm going to call the question on the motion before us, which is to cancel the fighting event. All in favor? Councillor Skakin is in favor. Opposed? And the remainder of council are recorded as being opposed. That motion is defeated.
Bastards. Told them. Don't mess with Shooter McGavin. 8-1. Yeah. Give me some of that.
And now we're allowed to have the event.
You already have a nickname. He threatened to sue the city, gave himself a new nickname, and somehow the fight still gets to go?
I think the fight gets to go because he sued the city. Because, like, I guess they come to a bunch of written agreements, and basically the city of Prince George, after a bunch of negative press, tried to cancel. So he was like, well, I'm going to sue you. And then they were very quickly like, I think we should go forward with the fight.
Yeah. They're like, you know what? I've decided I also like our money.
So anyways, to tie this up a little bit, basically it's going forward. The city agreed, they're doing it, but now they kind of have to sort through rules. So they got a bunch of the fighters together and the organizers, and they started trying to make some decisions.
Rule one, no punching.
Rule two, don't talk about punching.
The people on the Athletic Commission are so worried that somebody's going to slip and fall and hit their head on the ice. Even though we all know there's hundreds and hundreds of hockey fights happen every night of the week. This has made the most sense. The Athletic Commission liked it. Everybody seemed to like it.
This is at the point where...
What's the beef?
The beef is the fighters show up to Prince George and they kind of, as they're going over these rules and things like that, they realize that the current plan has them fighting like 5 times in a single night.
In one night.
One night.
You don't have to prepare for one fight. You got to prepare for 5 separate fights in one night. What could possibly go wrong?
I'm going to be dead tired by the time I get out of this deal. Like, this is a joke here. Who picked these people?
Ray Walker. Where's Ray Walker?
Basically, it'll be 2 guys from Pool A. And then... those 2 guys have a rest for quite a long time.
You know, listen, do you know anything about fighting? Do you know anything at all? Then shut the f*** up.
I gotta be honest. If I had to pick a group of people who wouldn't read the fine print.
So that's Link Gates, former NHL player. His nickname is the Missing Link, as in the missing link between Neanderthals and humans. So.
You're the missing link between Neanderthals and humans.
He communicates more physically. Anyways, regardless of how mad he was about how this was all being run, he ended up participating anyways. And after the break, you'll hear more about the whole event. And this podcast is brought to you by TSN Direct, the best way to stream live NFL, MLS, tennis, golf, UFC, F1, NASCAR, SportsCenter, and more. So go to tsn.ca/subscribe and get started. We've arrived at the big night, Z. Battle of the Hockey Enforcers is on.
Tickets are going from $35 to $200 a seat, but they're not selling as well as organizers would have hoped. Still, the slugfest starts at 6:00.
We're moments away from our first fight of the night. The referee will bring the 2 fighters to the edge of the circle. They'll hear a horn, and then for the next 60 seconds, unless the linesman deemed someone in trouble or there's a major knockdown, they will go at it until you hear the horn again. And Brant, what's going through their minds right now?
Well, I tell you, I'm nervous sitting right here, but here we go, and I think it's going to be a good one.
So here we go, first fight, and within a couple of seconds, a problem arises that becomes a theme throughout the night.
Oh no.
The helmet comes off, and they have to stop the fight.
No way. Couldn't have seen that coming.
in quite possibly the most predictable problem that could arise from a fighting event that requires you to keep your hockey helmet on, the hockey helmets didn't stay on.
And the fight stops. And the crowd goes mild.
Crowd boos, but here's the safety of the fighters paramount to what we're doing tonight. The helmet of Reed came off. Now we got a problem with Reed's helmets. And the linesman jump in there.
Well, that's a problem you're going to have when the helmet comes off and the guy is going crazy like that. It's going to be hard to keep it under control.
You got to tape that thing on next time.
Did he say you got to tape that one on?
The best part is, okay, so see, like, first of all, I should say it. Helmets aren't the only thing that broke in these fights.
What do you mean?
Not bones, just, I don't know, when you're wearing full hockey equipment and just hammering each other, something's bound to break.
His skate's broken.
Ready?
And he's going.
That's a tough guy, isn't it?
Yeah.
How is that what makes him tough? And he keeps fighting when the blade pops up his skate?
When it starts to become a problem where they're like, oh, like this helmet thing isn't great, and oh, this equipment is breaking, then becomes an entirely different issue. The stamina of these fighters.
Get the Stephen A. clip out. Hoodwinked, bamboozled.
100%. Plus, I will give Beef and the organizers a little bit of credit. They understood that. It's not like they had multiple round fights or anything. They set them up for 60-second fights. That's it. But the problem is, even that was too long. It's like, there's a couple fights where about halfway through, they just kind of circle for a while. And they're like, yeah, I think we've had a good go.
It makes sense. You said that these are former NHL players, presumably former enforcers. They're probably used to about 2 minutes of ice time.
And to be fair, not all of them are former NHL players. Some are more like former... what's below the ECHL? And like, again, we're saying all this. This doesn't come as news to a lot of the people in it. Like, the fighters weren't shy from saying that they're not in the best shape or like premier athletes at this point in their lives.
I got new skates, second time out this year. So I'm just getting the feel for the ice again.
I'm the oldest guy too, and probably the fattest. So
neither one of these guys has been in a competitive hockey game in a long time.
We've had a podcast about crazy hockey parents and all these different things, and a lot of it comes down to like screaming at refs. If you think refs get it bad in normal hockey, this was another level.
But Mike looks to be victorious in the first bout for him this evening. 24 round. We will get him going.
Terrible. Name a group of less reasonable people. A helmet popped off. There's been a timeout in the fight. Not nearly enough blood. They'll get the blood either way. Maybe it's on the ice with the people fighting, or maybe it's in the stands.
As much as these fans want blood and everything, and maybe they didn't get enough of that, there were a lot of injuries.
No one wants to see that. I mean, someone in the audience definitely came to see that.
I feel like it's not the type of injuries that they were hoping to see. Like, it wasn't like people got knocked out and stuff.
Nah, well, like a pulled quad?
Not necessarily pulled.
From, like, just being tired?
Just, I guess, like, the wear and tear of fighting. When you've already fought three times in the night and you're going up for your fourth, I think you're just kind of like, this is a bad idea.
So, what I'm gathering from you is that non-trained fighters are ill-prepared for a fight?
No. Z. Non-trained fighters are ill-prepared for five fights.
There were injuries and TKOs. Seven fighters, including Link Gates, either refused to continue or couldn't in what ultimately became a war of attrition.
But Z, there still has to be a champion. There's still $64,000 on the line, plus that winner's circle. So the final...
And that free meal.
Yeah, and the free meal. So in the final, we did have two guys make it. Mike Scroy and Dean Mayrand.
Not a lot of time left. 20 seconds. Go. Anybody's fight. Got a couple of right hands in there. Scroy coming back strong. Mayrand takes him down.
Oh, what a takedown.
Once again, there was no clean knockouts or anything in the final. Fitting for the whole night. It goes to a judge's decision. And?
Judge's decision. This should be good.
We have a winner by split decision. Number 55, Dean Mayrand.
If you do want to do any kind of like Battle of the Hockey Enforcers quiz in the future, everybody, that's the answer there. Dean Mayrand is the champion. So just write that one down in your notebooks.
You can go ahead and forget that one. I highly doubt that's ever going to be used as a quiz. If we're doing that, if we get to that topic, we'll also be fighting in that quiz because we'll be that short on ideas. Good ideas, that is, you know. So we'll come up with a bad one, you know, like amateur hockey fights.
But can I win $64,000?
Only if Beef is the one who's setting it up.
We spoke to the champion too, Dean Mayrand. We got him on the phone.
How's the connection?
That sounds good.
He did say that the $64,000 wasn't the only benefit from winning the night.
I did get two calls to play for the Providence Bruins and another American League team. My team doubled my salary for that weekend because we had big games coming up, and I ended up staying. I kind of regret that. I would have liked the opportunity to play at a higher level like the American Hockey League.
But that's not all he got from this. Like, he got offers from the National Lacrosse League. he ended up getting an offer to be in Goon 2, and then he actually was in The Love Guru.
It was a phenomenal experience. I'm pretty sure it was my first year retired, because I remember I was working as an iron worker, work dried up, and then a buddy called me and said, hey, they're doing casting calls for hockey players right now to do this movie, and they're filming it out of Toronto. You should come down here. So I just packed up my equipment and away I went. I was the first one picked for the LA Kings. It was like my first time ever at being the first overall pick.
Yeah, I mean, that's not bad. The night could have ended a lot worse, all things considered, for that guy. Everyone else who left, I'm going to assume it went just as poorly as I would have imagined.
I know you said you wouldn't want to get tickets to this event, and I assume your feelings are the same at the end of all this. Yes? Am I correct in thinking that?
My opinion is exactly the same as the beginning. Paying premium prices to watch amateur fighters perform amateurishly, that's a bad idea. That's a waste of your Friday night. It's a waste of your money. And if I'm being honest, I feel like I've been vindicated with the end of this story in saying that, right? Like, this didn't make it.
Okay, wait, but real question. Now that you have that answer, would you rather pay for a ticket to Battle of the Hockey Enforcers or for a ticket to see The Love Guru in theaters?
Well, I can tell you this much. I have, in fact, seen that movie. Got it on discount at Blockbuster when they were closing down.
I feel like you're like looking for a compliment here and you're not going to get one.
No compliment. I wasted my money already on one thing. I wouldn't waste it on the second. How about neither?
So while we're on the topic of movies, though, have you seen Goon 2?
I have, and I'm disappointed that I didn't get credit for that.
You believe that Battle of the Hockey Enforcers inspired that?
The guy even said that, the LA Times, that he stole the idea from us.
Is that like Jay Baruchel, the writer?
Jay Baruchel said that in the LA Times, that he saw this crazy story about these guys doing this hockey fight on TV. That's how he kind of stole the idea.
We were definitely affected by what we watched and had to and knew that we had to articulate it artistically. It serves a very specific role in the context of our flick. You know, I'll probably just leave it at that. But the cycle is complete. And also I who am I to poo-poo anything? So I definitely send a shout out and say what's up. And absolutely there is a there's a clear line of inspiration.
Okay, so Z, we're going to wrap this up, and I think we should kind of be fully transparent in who is talking about this and where our opinions come from. So, like, myself, I've never been in a fight outside of hockey. I've only been, my first fight was with another team's goalie, so I don't think I'm really the best judge on this stuff.
If anyone out there heard us and was confused as to whether or not either of us had ever been in a serious fight before, we got you. I do not think either of us sound like people who've gotten in fights before. That being said, knowing that I am less than an amateur fighter, I wouldn't charge people money to watch me fight. Just saying.
Regardless of whether or not we've been in a fight or not, I think we can all agree, everybody, the listeners as well, that the event didn't go smoothly. The product wasn't what they had hoped for when they initially thought of this idea. And obviously, there wasn't another one. So it wasn't a massive success. And I would say Daryl's pretty realistic about that too. Beef says himself, like, wasn't a financial success. He wasn't really happy with how it ran. He didn't like the helmets and the gloves having to be put on. But it was what it was.
I feel like, okay, yes, you're right. It seems at the very least, Daryl was very honest with himself throughout that entire process. In fact, he was honest from the beginning when he said it was a bad idea. He thought it was a bad idea from the jump. As for why he continued with it, money, most likely, that's fine. But I think the real point out of all of this, it's that, listen, fighting in hockey, it's great. But, you know, sprinkled on here and there, it's not what makes hockey great. And so to take, you know, maybe 10% of what makes hockey great and try to turn it into something that it's not, I feel like all of us could have predicted that, even if you got good hockey fighters to do that.
With countless delays due to injuries and equipment problems, a half-empty arena, and five arrests due to crowd fighting, the long-anticipated goon show known as Hockey Enforcers was gleefully considered a failure by many. But to those who knew what it took to get there, the fact that it simply happened was success enough.
Not surprisingly, there were more fights that didn't involve the players, both inside and outside the arena. Nonetheless, organizers considered this event to be a success, and they plan to make it an annual event. They'll return to this town at some point soon, and most of the competitors say they would like to take part again.
It was quite the exciting event, 2 years in the making, 3 hours of a good time. 16 guys kicking the crap out of each other and showing in the end of all that we're all true gentlemen.
It's hard, man, especially when, I mean, we've all become pretty close and friends the last few days. And, you know, Hockey Enforcers, Hockey Fighters, we all have the same character. We all are, you know, cut from the same mold. And it's tough to draw a line and go out there and fight them with aggression, you know?
Now after the events happened, everybody goes, oh, that event wasn't that bad. I rather enjoyed that. Oh, really? You stupid bastards. Of course it's a great event. Of course, you know, nobody's going to get killed out there. The only guy who got killed is me.
You know, nobody got killed, and the only guy that went to the hospital was me. So here it is, you know, 15 years later, dormant, hasn't gone anywhere in 15 years.
If you're judging success and failure event based on, oh, no one got killed. Wow. Could you put the bar lower?
No. But I do have one last thing that I can hope that might change your mind. It's one person that might know a little bit more about selling a fight than us. Do you know a guy by the name of Dana White?
Yes.
So apparently... according to Beef, UFC hockey fights might be coming to a TV near you.
Dear Lord.
You know, the ironic thing about your phone call is that maybe Monday or Tuesday, we're making an agreement to work with UFC to do the show again, actually.
No way. What?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy. What an interesting time for this to happen then.
Yeah, it's not confirmed yet. The idea is that UFC wants to get partner with us and to do a show every 3 months.
Wow, that's awesome. Congratulations. I mean, I guess I don't want to jinx it.
It's pretty far down the line now, but I mean, it looks somewhat positive. I mean, I don't know, but I think it's positive.
Corin absolutely slapped the X button there. You can hear it in his voice. Doubt.
Honestly, I know you're coming at Beef here, but I believe in Beef a little bit, okay? I don't think he's wrong. I think the event happened, and a lot of people didn't think it would happen, so he's not wrong about that. Success. No one died. He was the only one that went to the hospital, and... I don't know, maybe next time he gets the helmets and gloves off and then it's a little bit better.
There's definitely a better product that can be made out of that. So all they have to do is take away the gloves, take away the helmets, take away the ice, put in an octagon, and take away the amateur fighters and put two professional fighters who have trained their entire life for a fight. And I feel like the product would be substantially better.
Bar down, bar down, bar down.
This show is put together by Sam Glisserman and hosted by me, Corin McCallum, alongside Daniel Zakshevsky. David Crix is our executive producer, and the website was designed by Takia Singh and Pete Stewart. Our logo was made by Vincenzo Arnone. Thanks Kevin Fallis for mixing the episode, and an extra special thank you to Daryl Wolski, Jeff Newman, Dean Mayran, and Jay Baruchel. If you liked this episode, make sure you rate and subscribe, because it helps a lot.